You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We all do want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know. Hey, Mike, would you want to have wanted to been a Beatle?
No.
No? You don't think that would have been a good time? Come on. That would have been crazy.
Come on, man. Are you serious?
Come on. You wouldn't want to have been a Beatle?
No.
I think it would have been a good time, man. I think it would have been a good time. Wow.
No, those guys are... No.
No? No. Wow. I thought you'd be up for the adventure, man.
No, not a Beatle. Maybe at that time, let's see. I don't know. But not a Beatle. Definitely not a Beatle.
The, All right. Just wondered. It just looked like, you know, you're in a band. All of a sudden, the world dips on its axis, and you're like the center of the focus of the planet. You and your other idiot bandmates.
Yeah.
And you're like, I guess you'd be watching the news going, really? Is this really happening to us? So, anyway. Hey, let's talk about transition. We were talking about during the break. You want to talk about what's frustrating about transition? What part of this you want to talk about? Because it is frustrating, yes?
So, transition is easy if you have something that's transitional. You can like degrees, being an officer. Let's talk about the guys that have a little bit more difficulty. Let's talk about the guys that are, 0311 Humpalocks, and they decide to get out of the Marine Corps. And I get it. Hey, they need to start thinking about it. At what point do we start teaching them that? What point do, because it's not in any briefs that we do, and there's not a lot of stuff, that you can transition to being just a regular infantryman or a mortarman or anti-missileman or anti-tank missileman. But we've always concentrated on those, as the intangible, right?
Right.
Which you get out of being a Marine, which right. I believe.
No,
how do you teach a young kid those things? You don't really know that those things exist until you're our age, until you have children, right? So, we just don't do it right,
and I'm stammering here, but one, you can't help somebody. So the most you can do, like you can lead a horse to water, you can dunk his head in the water, right? You could stick a hot pole up his ass hoping that he or she will suck water in, but you can't make him drink, right? And so the best you can do is what? Put out the advertisement that I need to, anybody who's within 24 months of their EAS needs to sit down with me, and that's something the first sergeant does. And say, look, there's two scenarios that you're going to walk down if you're unsure. Okay, and let me tell you, given the competitive nature of reenlistments, everybody pay attention. Okay, so you can either not plan, and you're going to go through the route of you're going to go on unemployment. You're probably going to go to college because you'll be able to get your GI Bill, and that's a source of revenue. And you'll get a job that you have to take, a part-time job while you're going to college, and you'll do that. Or if you decide not to go to college, after 6 months your unemployment benefits run out. No, 12 months your unemployment benefits run out. And then you're going to take a job that you got to take because you got no other option. Or if you plan a little bit, you can, you'll have funds to go ahead and maybe either if you want to go to do some training that the GI Bill will pay for. You'll have that option. You can go to college. You'll have that option. You'll have time to interview. You'll have time to develop some contacts, hopefully that you, you know, you can cultivate within the next 24 months. You can go down that path. I can't force you down either one, but we're going to sit down and walk through this here in the next half hour. You Musselman, okay. McNamara, Schwarz,
but,
Cosentini, okay. You know, blah, 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 right?
But, Mac, okay, you and I have had this discussion, and I told you I was going through the transition, the executive stuff, the transition. First of all, the Lance Corporal can't go to the executive transition.
Right.
It's just not going to work.
Right.
Okay? Right. They'll be polite, but they're not going to let him in.
Right.
But during some of my breaks, we were right next door to the Lance Corporals.
Right. Right.
Basically the corporals, the enlisted guys. And I listened to their briefs. And the quality of, the stuff that we got was shit. Right? It was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is resume writing. I haven't seen a resume like this since, you know, the 80s. You write a resume like this, you're never going to find a job.
Right.
The enlisted guys next door were getting even worse than that. You know, they were getting these monkey, you know, interview type process on people like a retired staff sergeant, Mac, who did 20 years in the Marine Corps and retired as a staff sergeant. Now he's got a job working for, you know, MCCS or whatever it was.
Right.
And he's teaching people how to become successful out of the Marine Corps. Hello. To teach success, you probably got to be
successful.
Maybe a little successful.
Yeah.
You know, have some of that successful background. But that to me was like, what? Because again, it goes back to, and like Kate was saying earlier too about this, the whole the gender thing. The DOD does just enough. It does the classes we take on a computer.
Right.
You know, the 15 hours that you do, you know, from Jan wants to come in and forgot her card and wants to, can you swipe her in? What's your answer? It's A, you know, turn her into the police. B, you know, just like, what are you talking about? And so they do the same thing in transition. The lowest bidder, the people that, they're doing just enough so they can say, no, he had transition. And again, it's a report to Congress, man. Are we doing our enlisted people right?
And you would say?
No, absolutely not.
General Milstead told me yesterday that we are the gold standard for transition.
But the Marine Corps is. Yeah, isn't that scary?
Yeah.
I knew that. Yeah, and the other services do it worse than us. And we're the gold star. Oh, and again, it comes back to, you know, what Bonnie was talking about, all these programs and these people and stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, and getting networked. Well, so you got to explain that to the young, what does that mean? Because right now, he's being told that if it's not on the bulletin board in his company office or somewhere, you know, in the, you know, the DAV office down in Camp Pendleton, then it just doesn't exist. Or you get it through other means. But, you know, why can't we have a one-stop shop? Why can't there be, you know, one place, a portal, that everything is interconnected, you know, and all that information is shared. You know, I can come to, again, All Marine Radio website. And on there, I can look for everything under networking. I can look everything under VA benefit. And people always say, well, that exists, Gunner. Well, where?
Yeah, that exists, Gunner.
Well, where?
On the VA, the VA website.
Yeah, you got to go to this website and then click on here and then pull down. And then they always say to this. This is a little bit tricky to find, but it's right here. If you go under here, and you go under status page, and you click on this, and then you go to this link, and then you cut and paste, then bam, they're all right here. See? Like, okay, I got it. Yep. So we can do a better job. And I used to talk to young kids all the time about.
Yeah. Hey, man, what are your plans? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Where are you from? What are you going to do after the Marine Corps? Are you staying in? No, sir. I'm not staying in. You always get the, you know, especially if they're peers, they're going to play tough. Like, oh, no, sir. I'm not staying in. I'm not a lifer. Like, you, sir. You know? Okay. What are you going to do? I'm going to go back and go to community college for a little bit, sir, and then figure it out. Well, that's a good plan. You know? And I was pretty ruthless about it. You know, like, you got a kid, too, don't you? Yeah. How are you going to support that kid? Oh, they're going to live with mom and dad for a little bit. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's great. But, I mean, you got to have a plan. And some of them
But,
did.
Mike, you can't push a string, man. You can't push a string.
No, you're right.
You know, Matt,
there is a key to that. You got to actually put a heavy amount of starch into it. Let it dry, and then you can push it all day long. So you got to figure out what that starch is. What do you soak the string in? And that string being the Marine, make sure you can push it.
Yeah, but if he if he or she isn't interested, you know, in doing, and you know, Mike, you meet Marines, and some of them are, you know, they're organized and they have a little bit of an idea, and they're putting away a little bit of money, and they'll tell you, oh no. I'm going to welding school. I'm going to be a welder. I've been putting away $200 a month for the last 24 months, and the GI Bill is paying for it. I'll be drawing the living stipend, and you're like, boom. And and it doesn't take that much preparation, you know, for these guys to provide for themselves financially and at least point their nose in the right direction towards something. And you know what? We should get an update on how the Marine Corps does this. Because to me, I can't fathom that they don't, at the 24-month, you know, it's not a requirement for the first sergeant to you know, with the Marines in the company. What would it take him, 15 minutes? Get them all in the classroom once a month? Hey, everybody who EAS is in April of 2019, they're in the classroom. Musselman, McNamara. All right, let me tell you. Here's the deal. What else can you do though? You can't.
I know. The problem comes into so there's a bunch of problems. So my 20-year-old daughter, I'm constantly on her about, you know, we sit and talk about the future.
Right.
About, you know, what you do now will basically
echo in eternity.
In eternity. Yeah.
That's what Maximus said that.
And so I got on this subject one time. I said, you know, you need to go to the gym with your mom more often and work out. And, you know, and she's like, well, yeah, I don't need to. And you know, by the standards of a 20-year-old girl, she really doesn't need, I mean,
right.
She's not, she doesn't look out of shape. She's, you know, perfectly fit for her age group. But like I told her, I said, but when you're our age, and if you don't prepare your body for that, you know, and you're not physically fit and you're not in that capacity. And then when something happens in your life, it's harder for you to get back to where you were, you know, and it's like, man, I look back at my life and if I would have been, you know, as physically fit as I was as a young Marine and always doing stuff, biking and running and swimming and, you know, doing whatever, you know, running with packs on and, you know, we were physically fit when we were young in the Marine Corps. We were, by the means of Americans, we were extraordinary fit. And when it came time for, and then the injuries started suffering, you know, the back, the compressions and all the other stuff, and then the weight and stuff. You know, if I wouldn't have been in that situation, man, I couldn't imagine what I would have been feeling like. But my body was prepared for that. You have to prepare your mind for that, your body, your physical state, your mental state.
All right.
How do you get across to a young,
you
young people who think they're invincible?
You can't. It's impossible.
And the furthest they can think about is tomorrow. You know, a young Marine, a Lance Corporal, living paycheck to paycheck. And that's not the majority. And I should say that is the majority of them. The minority is the ones that save and buy the beat up car, you know, and they spend $1,000 in this car that makes all the noise in the world, spits out smoke, but it gets them where they got to go. and they save all their money and they invest things. You know, those are the minority. The majority are the kids that go out and buy the 5.0 Mustang, you know, paying $600 a month out of their $800 month paycheck and another $100 insurance a month, and then scrimp every once in a while skimping for gas. But they got a nice car.
You know what? They do have nice cars.
Yeah, and I saw kids that came back from Afghanistan and Iraq.
Oh, man.
Their bonus checks, and some of these bonuses were huge, you know, in the realms of, you know, $40,000, $50,000. And they would spend it all on an automobile.
It was nice automobile, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you want to look at, go to an infantry battalion or any battalion in the Marine Corps and walk through the parking lot.
Nice.
Yeah, those are nice cars.
Right.
You know?
And then I'll tell you what, but the guys that you want to meet in the barracks are the guys who own the beat-up cars.
Yeah.
Right? Or the older...
They got it right, man.
Yeah, they know... They know... John Allen, a long time ago, told me that, you know, Mac, if you live on base and you buy used cars, you can do okay financially in the Marine Corps. I said, is that the secret? And he said, believe it or not, yeah. He said, you know, living on base, saving your money, and buying used cars. You won't go into a lot of debt. You'll have money in the bank, and you'll be okay. I said, wow.
Or take the bus.
or ride
305.
Ride the bus or no, but it is. I mean, it is that, but you know, it's just frustrating because we deal with a segment of the population that you know, they have it in their head, and so, you know, Mike, we'll do that. We'll get somebody on and that can tell us. We should get a first. You know any first sergeants? You know first sergeants on active duty. Call one up and just say we want to come on and just tell, you know, what does the average Marine get relative to transitioning prior to getting out?
Yeah, but see, the first sergeants that I know are good first sergeants.
Okay, that's fine.
And then, well, what do you think? Actually sit down.
We want to bring some ass bag on?
I don't know any ass bags.
And there you go. So we can't, that would be impossible to do then if you don't know any. And just because I'm curious, as you are, like if Milstead says we're the gold standard, then what are we doing? I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid. So if I tell you and you simply won't do it, then I what do I do? You know, here's your emergency action plan, man. And the emergency action.
I knew a lieutenant that does Marines. And went through financial planning and investment and established portfolios for a majority of his platoon. And, you know, and people made fun of it, like, well, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. This is way beyond. But what he was doing was setting these kids up for success. But he took the extra time and he, you know, here's a guy who wasn't married, spent all his extra time helping his Marines, you know, do financial planning. And, you know, and they're going to reap the benefits down the road.
Some, right? Some are going to sit there and not pay attention in the class like they never do. And then, I think we have to get comfortable with that idea. And it's not something we're cool with. And that is, look, some of them aren't going to listen. And the best it gets is, hey, did you plan for any money? No, sir. What are you going to do? Oh, I think I'm going to go back to community college, go back to school. Okay. Got it. All right. So here's your plan. You're going to go on, you're going to file for unemployment. You're going to make sure you got all your ducks in a row with your GI Bill and then you got to play it forward from there. Okay. You have these resources in the community. Okay. Take advantage of them, but you're in the immediate action drill now. Okay, bro. Because you didn't plan. And if there's a lesson from this, don't do this anymore in your life. Become a better planner. You know? And maybe that's all you can do with them. But I'd be curious to know if there's a requirement, at the, I don't know, regiment, battalion, whatever area, whatever level, to sit down and at least talk to Marines about, you got to start thinking about it now if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
The Marine Corps order on transition. Maybe we should bust that one out and read it.
It would be the second time it's ever read. It was proofread when it was signed.
The what did you do yesterday? Did you go volunteer on Wednesdays, right?
Yeah, I volunteer on Wednesdays at this 24/7 care center here in town. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, it's really interesting to meet different people. And you know, it's tough sometimes emotionally. You know, you try not to feel sorry for people in the situations that they're in, but you comfort them with just company and, you know, and talk, and you spend time with them, and, you know, that's important.
So who did you meet? And, give me a story from yesterday.
Well, sad story yesterday. One of the older ladies that was a resident, she was 89 years old, and her and her husband were married when they were 20, and they never were separated. And when she actually started suffering from dementia, they admitted her, and he admitted himself. He had a house outside, in the outside world, retired, successful, but he admitted himself because he wanted to be with his wife. And he couldn't give her the care that she needed because of his age and his condition that he was in.
All right.
But he wanted to be by her, and the day before, on Tuesday, he had passed away.
And they're 89, you know, and they've been married since they were 20?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and it was just really a sad, it was really, really, emotionally it was draining because, you know, this lady, she was trying to get through it, and we were talking with her, trying to make her, you know, feel good about things. And then, you know, she was telling stories about, you know, him and, you know, what he'd done. And, you know, it just, that was really tough.
But a good thing you're there, though, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're not there, she's sitting there by herself, right?
She's sitting there with other people, yeah, that she's not really familiar with, or, you know, she'd lost her partner. The person, you know, imagine spending, you know, what, 79 years?
70 years.
70 years, really. Yeah.
Of your 90-year life with somebody. I mean, you know, you can see why, you know, when that happens so often, the other person, you know, passes away relatively quickly.
Afterwards, yeah, that broken heart.
Yeah. And people, you know, but you see, you know, people say, well, you know, physically, how, you know, that's okay, like, okay, I got it. That can't cause death. I got it. Then explain this stuff to me that I see all the time.
Yeah.
That I see all the time. I don't.
And then there's a young man in there that he's confined to a wheelchair. He's paraplegic, and he can barely speak. And he's there because he's 24 years old, and his name is Toby. And he's there because his mother, when he was being raised, she got high one day, and she was, you know, using illicit drugs for most of her life. And she had beat him so bad that she caused brain damage. And, you know, and she's spending the rest of her life in jail, and he's there, you know, needing the care. So, you know, those stories are tough.
Yeah.
But he's all fired up. When I first met him, I gave him a Marine Corps sticker, and he put it on his wheelchair.
So, you know, like, so when you show up,
his smile, he lights up. Oh, yeah, he lights up, and he wants to talk about Marines. You know, and, you know, he's telling me the first time I met him, he wanted to be a Marine. We were laughing about it. But, yeah, just great people.
Right. You know what? How good do you feel when you leave? I mean, you don't think you did a whole lot, but I mean, you know, that's, a lot of people don't see that side of their community very often, you know, and it's out there, and it's pretty sobering stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, we went to lunch afterwards with the guys, and Ralph, one of the buddies, he bought his sixth gun in the month of March, and we're not even all the way through. He went into and he had to buy this 4570, this old 1873 that he ran into, and so he had to have it. And old Ralph's got about, you know, probably about 400 guns in his collection. Yeah.
Wow.
And he won't, and you know, he started this program where we go and volunteer there. And when I found out why, because that's where his wife Ann, when she was, needed care, he brought her in there, and we were walking out there one day, and he walked in, and we walked in the room that Ann had occupied.
Oh.
And, so we were talking about, you know, his wife and, you know, the reason why, because he used to come there every day and spend time with her, and then decided when she had passed that he would continue that. And then this grew into that. So out of that.
You know, I don't know that there's ever anything as good in your life as when, you know, when you help other people.
No, you're right. I think, you know, especially in situations that we've been in where you've done things that you're not really proud of.
Right.
You know, you've seen things, you've seen the other side of humanity.
The worst side of life.
Yeah. And it's soothing to you to do these type of things. It makes you feel good inside.
You know, Mike, I was watching, I repaired my DirecTV receiver last weekend. The hard drive crashed, and so it wouldn't function. So I went online, and it was a series of minor miracles that happened. I see how to repair it. They say there's a workaround. If you plug in an external, then it'll bypass your internal, and it'll work. It'll pop right up. And I was like, oh, okay. So, and my daughter's heckling me, Dad, what is wrong? I'm like, you need to relax. So I remember that I have a hard drive that doesn't work, and whether it's the electrical connection, I thought it was the electrical connection, because it did work and then it stopped. And so I go and I break that open from the case.
Right.
And I look, and it's the same kind of hard drive as what's in my DVR. My DirecTV receiver. So I go in, I do surgery, and I pull it out. I put the new one in. After I plugged it into my computer, I needed certain adapters, and I actually had them. That worked, another miracle. I transfer things that were on that hard drive onto my desktop computer. I take that hard drive, I delete everything, I plug it in, and it works. So I just happened to be watching TV, and I was watching a World War II thing. I was watching a World War II thing, but it was filmed in probably the early 60s. You could tell by the video and stuff like that. And it was interesting because they were interviewing people that worked, this guy's Polish, and he worked in the concentration camps. But he worked in the concentration camps when he was probably 18, 19, 20, right? So in the early 60s, you know, which is 15 years later, he's between 35 and 40 years old. So he's a young person who's, you know, not a, you know, 70 or 80 year old person recounting this thing from long ago. This guy's young, and he described, you know, he's sitting there, you know, with his shirt open and smoking a cigarette, and he's describing the work that he did and the lack of humanity. And I just thought it was really interesting to listen to somebody that young that had been through that kind of stuff. And there was things that I heard probably a half a dozen times in a half hour. And it was, that's when I knew there was no God. And it was really riveting, documentary about the Germans and what they did. But it was that perspective and those people being young and being able to very, very vividly recount those things, about the worst side of humanity. So I thought it was really interesting watching that, and again, them recounting it at such a young age.
Yeah.
But anyway, but I'd saved my direct TV receiver, which I know you'll be happy to know.
That's nice.
I know. We're gonna take a break. I want to talk about Kate Germano a little bit. All right, when we come back.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. All right. So we're gonna take a quick break. The Gunner with me, first time since Monday. He's been on sabbatical. More of a All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .42 here on a Thursday. We've been talking transitions, and before that we had on retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Kate Germano, and interesting conversation with Kate. Kate's not a an officer in the Marine Corps with a little bit of controversy surrounding her. And Mike met her. Explain how you met her, because I don't really know the whole story. But you met her while you were with Weapons Training Battalion.
Yeah, we went down to Parris Island to visit the Weapons Training Battalion down there, Weapons Field Training Battalion at Parris Island, and kind of talked through the marksmanship stuff. And then during that visit, we stopped in and saw Kate. She had 4th Marine Recruit Battalion at the time. And, I didn't meet her before then. I knew of her. I mean, she had RS San Diego as a major.
Right.
But I heard great things about her, and the reason I say great things because she was one of the female Marines that didn't stand for the comments of, train like a girl. And I think she wrote an article, something based on that about, since when was it, the wording of, train like a girl was, she wrote something about that. And the thing that I think that finds it most disappointing was the fact that after she was relieved of command, her article was actually dismissed before it was published out of the Gazette. And so, no one really heard that voice. She was an advocate of stronger standards, bringing the standards up. And I think a lot of people didn't like that. And I think in retrospect, looking back, that, there was probably some animosity towards her because of the viewpoints that she had, and people didn't like it. And subsequently, she was, relieved from her position because of her strong beliefs. And then it was really disappointing that the Gazette actually dropped her article.
Yeah, that's. You know? I'll tell you what. I don't know that I've ever seen that. I mean, you were going to publish it, but you yanked it from being published.
Yeah, it was in the lineup to get published, and then you yank it.
Right. This is from the New York Times. When active duty Marine officer Lieutenant Colonel Kate Germano was relieved of duty earlier this summer, controversy ensued. She was fired for her tough approach to leadership, or for being outspoken with her qualms about how the Corps integrates women. Germano's in the spotlight again for the latter after an article she wrote for the Marine Corps Gazette was cut from the publication. The piece, when did it become an insult to train like a girl, was due to publish in September. It's what's considered the Marine Corps' de facto publication. Her article discussed the double standard in the Corps and how women are held to lower standards of fitness and performance than men. As a one-time commander of a Marine Corps recruiting station and a segregated all-female training battalion, Germano was trying to argue for tougher standards. Gazette editor John Keenan said the Marine Corps did not ask him to cut the piece, but rather did not want to further complicate matters following Germano leaving the battalion. He added, "Personally, I feel there is a lot of validity to what she's saying about don't hold women to a lower standard." instead of running in the Marine Corps Gazette, the piece ran in the New York Times.
Yeah. Love it.
Right. That is awesome. We don't need to make this work worse than it already is, so we're going to pull that thing. We're not going to run it. All right. Hey Gunner, I know you said to pull it, but we got a little problem today. What's up, Mac? Yeah, that piece Germano wrote, it's running in the New York Times.
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
That's oh, my God.
And I'm glad it did.
No, I mean, some of the things she said. I mean, I was never a recruiter. Mike was. She talked about, look, and you tell me if you think this is right. Recruiters get paid to recruit males because the Marine Corps is 94% male. True or false?
True.
Okay. The emphasis put on recruiting females is not much. If you can find one that's willing and fits the parameters, you've met your quota, you can get back to your full-time job.
Yeah. It was an untold story when I showed up on recruiting duty. It was, don't talk the female recruits. They're too much of a problem. You got to coddle them. You got to babysit them. And they're just, it's just not worth the squeeze. The juice is not worth the squeeze. And, you know, and so being an infantryman, I was the same way. And it wasn't until, I had my first female, recruit came into my office and walked in, and I said, what can I help you with? She said, I'm looking for information to join the Marine Corps. And I said, yep, there's brochures right there at the door. Take as many as you want and have a nice day. And so she's looking through them, and she comes back to my desk and says, well, can you answer some questions? And I said, listen, I'm busy. I don't have time. And so we were talking, and she goes, and then she picked it up right away. She's like, well, why aren't you talking to me if I want to join the Marine Corps? And I said, you see that pull-up bar behind me? She's like, yeah. And I said, get up there and do 3 pull-ups. She got behind that pull-up bar. And not only did she do the 3, she did 17 more in the, you know, dead-hang pull-ups. And she goes, okay,
what?
Now what? Yeah.
What'd she say, now what, bitch?
No, she said it to me, yeah. She's like, now what?
Now
and
what,
I was kind of like jaw dropped. I went, she goes, you know, are you going to talk to me about joining the Marine Corps? Or do I need to go somewhere else?
Or do I have to beat your ass?
Yeah.
Because that's what's coming next.
Ugh. I said, you know, okay. you know, are you in high school? She's like, no, I'm going to college. And I said, did you graduate high school? She kind of gave me that look like, come on. And, yeah, she proved me wrong. I mean, she proved me wrong in all facets. I mean, she became a rock star, and more importantly, you know, she came back from boot camp. She went, she helped recruit 3 other applicants, so she was meritorious, promoted to PFC before she left. And then when she graduated boot camp, she became the honor grad, and she was meritorious Alliance Corporal out of boot camp. Came back and was kind of that whole model. So I used to take her when she was on, you know, recruit assistants, and she would run my police, which were all males, and she'd go take them running and kill them and just destroy these guys. And so she'd come back, she'd be done running, and I'd be looking at her and go, where's everybody else? Oh, they're coming. What do you mean? They're still catching up. And I'm like, okay, listen, you don't leave them behind. So she'd take off running, go catch them, bring them all back. You know, and everything that my guys could do, she could do better. She was smarter. She was more fit. She was just, I mean, everything that you kind of embodied in a Marine. So, yeah, that was the first time. I mean, well, it wasn't the first time, but it was the first time that I actually had dealings with, you know, a female Marine like that. Because the ones I had before, and I told you when I was snapped out to military police, were not favorable.
Right.
These were the women that were taking full advantage of being a female and, you know, and using every opportunity. And so everybody else detested that. So it was that in that organization because of what they did, the small group of them there. You know, everybody just had a different idea towards them.
And so, but it seems to me from talking to her today, so that's the recruiting piece. Okay. And you covered the poolee piece, which she said we don't do for females either, which is get them in the pool, make sure they attend, push them physically. So when they go to boot camp, they're not looking to score minimums. They're looking to do what guys are supposed to be doing, which is try to max that thing out. And she says we don't do that. Then once we get them there, we train separately. And what the males hear is, hey, look, stay away from them. Don't talk to them. They're not as good as you, blah, 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 blah. Which I would tell you begins to sow seeds, right? I mean, you can see this problem, this disparity in the Marine Corps. And so then what she's arguing at recruit training is the OCS model that we've been doing forever, which is a female platoon within a male company. Does that make sense, Mike?
Yeah. And I would, you know, at one point you integrate them. I mean, you look at, you know, success stories across the world where you have integration of both genders and you hold the same standard. So
hold on, let me read you an email. Hold on. Wait, I'll read this one. It's even funnier. I just fell off my fucking chair. The last thing I expected you two chuckleheads to say this morning was what just came out of both of your mouths. Really?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, do you think we're stupid?
Yeah. I got more depth than that.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on. One more sentence. Integrated training. I guess that means different things to different people. I have to tell you, though, I'm just stunned. I thought you two knuckle-dragging fools would never, ever say anything like that. No, I mean, how do you disagree with Kate Germano's, her thesis and line of reasoning? We already do the training that we're talking. In fact, there was a lieutenant or a captain who I had on the program. Hell, I should replay that interview. That wrote an article about integration of boot camp. And what she was talking about was the OCS model. That's what she was talking about. But she didn't phrase it like that. And I said, can I give you something I learned a long time ago? If you invite the Marine Corps to embrace something that it's already embraced, they're much more likely to do it. But if it's perceived that you're going to unfuck them, then.
Yeah.
Right, Mike?
You get the hand.
We're not never. But if you and I learned doing this, really interesting stuff. I was advocating to teach fire movement at SOI East and West, like we were teaching at IOC, which was no hands and arm signals, no voice commands. Control the base unit. Don't allow them to do that. So then, when they do get in blackout conditions, they'll know what to do, and they'll be good at it. And so I remember the gunner at SOI West had been there since, I think they started Camp Pendleton. Mike knows his name too, and he still works at Camp Pendleton as a civilian doing something. What's his name? Gunner what?
Yep. Gunner Bolton.
Gunner Bolton.
Yeah, Bolton.
I was scared shitless. And let me tell you, I'd spoken at West Point, the Naval Academy, I did a lot of speaking at IOC. Now retired General John Allen would take me around, and I'd talk decision making, and then we'd also talk, you know, squad tactics, which I loved. And so, but Gunnar Bolton was, he was a guy who was the guy at SOI West, and he also cast a long shadow over SOI East. He was the guy. And I was scared shitless to do this in front of him for fear that he was going to, you know, he'd be sitting in the back, then he rolled his head, and then start doing paperwork. And so I got ready to give this class, and I don't recall, and it, I mean, all these years later, this happened in probably 1991 or two, so you're talking about, 25 years later. It still makes me, you know, I laugh thinking about it because it's so vivid. My eyes, when I was speaking, were riveted on him to see his reaction to what I was saying. So we took a break, and I walked to the back, and he was getting a cup of coffee, and I said, so what do you think, Gunnar? And he looked at me and goes, you know, this, we used to teach this during Korea. I said, what? He said, yeah, I learned this, how to do this, you know, before I went to Korea. And he said, that's how I got taught. And I said, would you mind saying that when we come back from the break? And he said, no. He said, I'd be happy to. Mike, I was so excited because I was out of the business of unfucking, right? And now it's like, hey, we're going to go. We used to do this, man. We're just going back to, you know, this is Marine Corps. And, you know, and the steam went out of the building. Like, nobody's getting unfucked. We're just going back to old school stuff. And, but that's, you know, that's what Kate's talking about, doing something we've been doing since I went through OCS in 1983, which was we had a female platoon in our company.
Right.
They did everything that we did, they did. And we were around them. And her point is this. It's important for male recruits, as it is for candidates, to see females in leadership roles that can PT, that are studs. And your perception will be changed because that's what she's talking about. Change, raising the bar for women, changing mindsets in men. And you can't do it by the way we're doing it.
Yeah, no, and I'm a big fan, and I think that, you know, we need a lot more Marine leaders like her to have that thought, you know. And I felt shame when the Marine Corps did what it did for her, and that, you know, that's just not a good day in the Marine Corps.
No, you know what, and it, you know, like most of that stuff, I don't know who she got sideways with, who wasn't buying what she was selling, but she got sideways with the institution, and the institution showed her the door. Because there's, you know, when people that are swimming upstream on certain issues, you got to have somebody that has your back. And, you know, to me, when somebody drops the command climate survey on you, you know,
that's a setup.
Right. And I mean, an hour, I don't know, 90 minutes ago, she said, look, there were people that responded in that thing that weren't even in my battalion. And they were people that I had gone head to head with about their failing standards and what it was costing female recruits. And then the female recruits were pissed that I was holding them to higher standards. You know?
Yeah.
And so, and there was drill instructors who hated it. The first time I interviewed her, she told me, she said, there was drill instructors that hated that. She said, we almost outshot for the first time in Marine Corps history a male company. She said, if you can believe that.
Right.
And I started laughing. Mike, can you imagine the anxiety in that male company as they looked at those numbers? Hey, they're within 2 points of us. If we're the first male company, like we'll have to all resign. We'll have to gather Marine Corps, man. We'll never hear the end of this.
Yeah,
and it was because of the emphasis. I don't know what you guys talked about, but the added emphasis that she put on during, I think, Grass Week and Range Week of, we're not going to do other things. We're going to snap in, and we're going to learn how to shoot, and we're going to raise our standards. And she said that pissed off her drill instructors, who had all this other stuff that they wanted to cover. You know, drill and all the thing that's important, all that bullshit that they think's important. And I'm sure it is, but she just had higher standards in mind. And she said, I got sideways with them. So, interesting discussion. We should have her on this hour, and it'd be an interesting discussion. What was she most interested in the discussion with you and Will Cosentini about marksmanship? What was she most interested in?
Really, there was no, I mean, because marksmanship is it's gender neutral.
Right.
I mean, there's, you know, that's one of the few things that it's, you know, it doesn't matter what you're born as. It's the skill set you're taught. But, you know, and you know, like you said, they glossed that stuff over for the longest time down there. And it was kind of this, you know, just hit the target, you know, move on. But she took it to a different level. And, like I said, yeah, got sideways with the institution. Can't have that.
No, you can't have that. All right, man, were you big plans today? What are you doing?
Going to the range.
You are? Is that what I'm hearing? Is that ammunition?
Yeah, that was ammunition.
Yeah! What are you shooting?
Yep. I'm shooting, today I'm shooting just a 9mm. And then I'm working on a couple guns while we're there. And then some other guys will be shooting some other stuff. But I'm just shooting one of my Glocks.
All right. All right. Well, we'll let you go. Have a good shooting, and we'll talk to you.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bud. There you have it. That is Michael Musselman. That is Michael Musselman here on a... And on a Thursday. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because you hear different things. And, you know, there's not one thing that, you know, Kate Germano says that I don't agree with. And I think it's all good in the direction she has it pointed. Now, people can quarrel with her and as a commander, but what she's espousing now, higher standards for women. And if you've heard Mike at all on this program, I'll tell you this. You can hear the angst when he starts talking about, you know, when he was fapped out as an MP, and he tells this story about a master sergeant and a female Marine rubbing his back. And he says, "Hey, Master Sergeant, can I rub your back?" And Master Sergeant's like, "Hey, get out of here. You know, knock it up. No, I want to rub your back. I want to rub your back." And, and so you can hear Mike, you know, he's got issues with, this is just my characterization. Mike has issues with female Marines that exploit the gender thing for their own advantage, which would be lower standards lower standards and less work. That's what Mike has a hate ball for. So anyway, interesting. All right. My thanks, that'll do it. My thanks this morning, to Kate Germano for coming on. As I said, outspoken, has an opinion, not afraid to share it. You'll hear that interview in a few minutes, so stand by. And then after that, my thanks to. We were talking. We're talking transition here on a Friday, and it's always a challenging discussion because you know, and where we started from today was, you know, how do we make it better in terms of. For junior Marines, right? Like, the whole officer thing, like, we get it. And so it was an interesting discussion today with Bonnie Silver about, you know, what do you do if you don't plan? You know, the emergency action plan. And the Montana guy, you know, used to talk about is Regiment LXO. And another bill that's walking up, are you going to something or just getting out? Because if you're just getting out and you're a good Marine, you might want to rethink that. You might want to rethink that. And so, but again, I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid. But you know, we're gonna actually get a little bit of clarity, and find out what do they do in terms of, do they do anything at the 12-month, the 24-month before you're gonna get out in terms of sitting down and just saying, hey, think about it, guys. You know, you're not required to go through any kind of transition program until. You know, XYZ amount of time. But if you're smart, this is what you need to do, whether you think you're going to get out or not. Networking, always a good thing. Get a LinkedIn account, be doing that stuff. constantly build your contacts with former Marines, veterans organizations, know people, carry on conversations, find out what Veterati is. You know, network. Or you need to meet people. I hate the word networking, by the way. Meet people. You know, become friends with them. Talk to them. And you never know. Colby. What's Colby's last name? I want to say Klosterman, but he's a quarterback. Played at the University of North Dakota. He's a recruiter at Amazon. He said every job he's gotten, he's gotten through LinkedIn. Interesting, huh? Got out as a corporal sergeant in the Marine Corps. All right, that'll do it. Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit of cooking, don't you know? And then maybe a little bit of sports, too. So thanks for listening. My thanks to Kent Germano for coming on. My thanks also to Bonnie Silver for coming on. And you can find her on LinkedIn as well. And then, as always, the Gunner. And the email about us being knuckle draggers, I think we'd surprise you. Anyway, we can be knuckle draggers at times about certain things, but we believe in them because we love them, and we got it right. So have a great afternoon. All Marine Radio continues. You're going to hear the interview with Kate Germano coming up next right here on a Thursday edition, All Warrior Radio. Have a good one.